your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KmarEducation.org. And here is your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Live Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. Tonight's roundtable discussion, The Criminal Mindset, Insights into the Mind of a Criminal. That is our topic tonight. Unfreeze, you have seconds to save your life and that of loved ones by being mentally prepared. It's about our minds, awareness, preparedness, and reaction to take action. We have Lieutenant Jim Perez from the Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department as our very special guest tonight, and we're inviting you as well to give us your thoughts during the program, and we're also on till 8 o'clock tonight. So our phone number is 203-333-9422, so please feel free. When you have a thought, you want to get into the conversation, please call the number and we will put you on air. 203-333-9422. You might want to mark that down. So, and we're learning tonight awareness, preparedness, and action. And before I introduce my roundtable guests, I have some announcements to bring to you. And Tony, next to me, the handsome man, he'll start off with a better window view.
TheHealingMindMagazine.com, a life learning classroom connecting globally. TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Together, we can make a difference. Come join us.
Well, and I have the thing mixed up. I have the window. So anyway, we have a message from the Better View Cleaning Message Center. Our window cleaners love heights, so you don't have to. We specialize in window cleaning, gutters, power washing, chandelier cleaning, and commercial cleaning. We handle it all. BetterViewCleaning.com, 203-284-8836, serving since 1995. And yes, TheHealingMindMagazine.com, that's probably something you want to check out. It is dedicated to helping develop and expand people's minds, skills, and talents, brought to you by KmarEducation.org, TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Come join us. So we have several announcements tonight. So again, we're on till 8 o'clock tonight. We're going for a five-minute break around 7:30-ish, and we come back 6:30. Yes, 6:30, thank you. And we're on till 7 o'clock. The news comes on. 7:05, we continue with the second hour. So I'd like to introduce our roundtable friends. I welcome Norma Giannatasio. Norma G. is a friend, Life Talk contributor, and co-host with entrepreneurial blood flowing through her veins. A proud business owner for 36 years in Milford, owner of the Vision Salon, and a great poem writer, featured monthly in the HealingMindMagazine.com. A great human being, trying to make a difference, and welcome to the program, Norma.
Thank you, Marietta. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I always put you to work.
You do.
Yes. So, and also a new guest tonight, Tony Giannatasio. He's sitting right next to me, a business owner in New Haven, and also a sitting elder man in Milford, right?
Correct.
So, thank you for being here tonight, Tony.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Yes. So, and I had an email from Gladys in Wilton the other day who wondered what I do when I'm off air. I train employees, management, and owners of small and medium-sized companies I've been doing that for over 25 years, specializing in the service arena. I work with children, youth, and help them with life skill training. And with adults who are in need of reinvention, that is also my area of expertise. Also adults who want to become an entrepreneur. I have been a producer and creator of Life Talk Radio for 14 years and producer and creator of the HealingMindMagazine.com that just started. So I have a very busy work life, needless to say. And after your announcement, we're going to introduce our very special guest, right?
Okay.
You want to
sure,
go ahead with
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
We have Lieutenant Jim Perez in the studio tonight, and Lieutenant is employed by the Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department. He's 27 years in law enforcement, God bless you, Lieutenant, has held many positions with the agency, including a task force member with the FBI, Drug Enforcement Administration. He has taught the DARE program in elementary schools, which I remember very well with my kids, was a member of the SWAT team. He responded to an accident involving an alleged bomber holding 19 students hostage at Fairfield University. Lieutenant Perez is also a trainer and consultant for the National Crime Prevention Council in Washington, D.C. He is also certified by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority to teach investment fraud. He's with the State of Connecticut Certified Active Shooter Trainer and teaches regularly workplace violence and active shooter for the Protective Service Advisor of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security in Connecticut and in Massachusetts. He has also trained staff at Columbia University in New York City and Yale University in New Haven and GE World Headquarters. Wow. Town of Essex, Connecticut, and police departments around the country and internationally. Experienced in terrorism, risk assessment, and extensive experience in crime prevention through environmental design. Lieutenant Jim Perez has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice administration, the Connecticut Police Academy, and the FBI Law Enforcement Executive Development Association. During his career, he has earned citations from the FBI Director Louis Free and the Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal. Lieutenant Perez has also been featured on NBC's Dateline and in the New York Times. Lieutenant Perez has been recognized for successful criminal investigations against several violent gangs. He's also received Combat Cross Award for the involvement in a police shooting and was selected in 2016 as Employee of the Year in the town of Fairfield, Connecticut. Welcome, Jim Perez.
Welcome, Lieutenant Perez. It's an honor to have you here. No wonder I'm tongue-tied. Thank you very much for making this happen tonight. I appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure.
You know, I'm normally not nervous, but we don't have guests like you every day here, so that's okay. My nervousness will subside. No wonder I get the windows and the magazine mixed up, you know. So, Lieutenant, I think we should start the first segment. We forget the music. Let's go right in. You have the floor. You have our minds and hearts with you and also our listeners.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, thank you for having me. you know, one of the things that I do, and I do this pretty much everywhere, and it's a passion of mine, is I believe in actually passing on information to people. So, you know, there are police officers that can go, you know, 20, 30 years through their career, and they do it with dignity and they do it with honor, and then they retire and then they leave. But what ends up happening is that that town or city has literally invested probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in training over the course of 30 years, 25 years, and then they take that information with them, and no one ever taps their resources. No one ever says to them, hey, you know, what can we learn from this? And so really, I've been teaching.
Or what can we learn from you as a person?
Right.
Really, right?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I've been teaching crime prevention through environmental design for about 10 years now. And what I love about it is that it takes its tenets from psychology, sociology, ecology, architecture design, and landscape design. And what we do is we take existing structures or brand new developments and buildings, and we infuse crime prevention into it so that it makes the area a lot safer for people. And that's a passion that I have. But I will tell you this, what really shook me to the core And I've been involved in a lot of different calls throughout my career, as most police officers have. But the one thing that really shook me was Sandy Hook. And I remember exactly where I was when it happened. I was working and I was with the chief, and we were meeting with a local business to discuss some security issues, when all of a sudden we got the phone call and we headed straight up there. And I got to tell you that, you know, I've been involved in police shootings. You know, we talked about the 19 hostages being held. I was part of the SWAT team where I was literally two doors away from the bomber at the time. And we had no idea whether he had the bomb or not. But it's pretty jarring when you're involved in things like that. All these incidences, I've seen numerous dead bodies, as have many police officers, or all of them really. But the one thing, Sandy Hook literally shook me more than all those incidents combined. And it was at that point that I said, I have to do something. I have to come up with a program or do something where I can take a piece of the police mind and I can infuse it into every civilian that can hear my voice. And that's what I've done since then. And I've done it through my active shooter training program. I've done it through my workplace violence program, my de-escalation, personal safety, all these different topics that I've done. And I've done that because I want to make sure that people have the information that I was blessed with having, you know, through training and through my fortune of being in Fairfield and being allowed to do this training. And I love passing it on. And so that's what I do. And so that's why we're here. And that's what I do every single day to try to arm people so that they can feel just as safe as I feel having this information.
Our very special guest tonight is Lieutenant Jim Perez from the Fairfield Police Department. And a lot of people know you. You're very well known, except I really found you here on WICC about a week ago. You're on Mondays with Tony and Melissa. Mm-hmm. And I heard this man, I didn't hear it right from the beginning, and I had no idea. I said, oh my God. I said, this man is very passionate. I still didn't know it was Lieutenant Perez. Mm-hmm. You know, I had no idea. And I tracked you down because when you said you want to instill into the mind of the civilians, mm-hmm. I said, this is the man. That's the man I want to support, and I really mean that.
I appreciate that.
This is very unfamiliar territory for all of us here.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
So I think for you, Tony, you're more familiar with interacting with all the different sources of a town.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not. So all of this, just to prepare myself a little bit, this is all news, but it should be a daily. Once I gain more awareness and get a little more education, it should be something that slice should be going right into the mindset. Mm-hmm. So, and there, I know there is a lot to discuss, but I am very happy. I want everybody to know I want to support Lieutenant Jim Perez, and so does Norma and Tony Giannatasio. So I interrupted you, but I just wanted you to know Lieutenant Perez is on Mondays on WICC with Tony and Melissa. So, and now he's here for 2 hours on Life Talk with Marietta. So, okay, go ahead.
I think that what has to happen with the prevalence of violence, where it's going and where our nation is heading, you know, we are becoming increasingly more violent nation. But you know, we are no more violent than our history. Because I know that a lot of people think that, you know, a lot of violence and different things have happened after 9/11, let's say, or after Columbine. But the reality is that it's happened way before that. You know, back in 1926, and I talk about this during my training classes, back in 1926, there was a schoolhouse where there was a Board of Ed member that became, he ran for re-election and he lost, became very angry, and he literally rigged the bottom of the school with explosives, and he killed 45 people. So when people think of school violence, and we talk about that, we like to think of Virginia Tech and Columbine and Sandy Hook. But the reality is that way back then, it's been happening. So anything that we can do to actually get people mentally prepared, because you're going to find out through this program tonight that you can teach everyone. You can have them watch videos on Run, Fight, and Hide, and they can do that all day. But the reality is that if you don't teach them how to run, fight, and hide, they're probably going to stand there and freeze, because we're just not used to seeing tremendous violence happening in front of you, and chances are you might freeze, and that freezing could mean the difference between life or death. It sounds dramatic, but it's actually true.
Yeah. I wonder if we could play a little clip, Lieutenant. I came across a YouTube little video. It's only about 5 minutes in length. Dr. Lawrence Miller. He's a clinical and forensic psychologist. So, Rich, do we have that clip? If not, we'll do Dr. Sanders. Yeah, that's him. So, because he's talking about the violence.
Mm-hmm. The question often arises, why are people violent? In fact, why do we need these laws in the first place? Why doesn't everybody just live peacefully and happily ever after? And that's because, whether we like it or not, in human society and throughout the animal kingdom, the relationships among any social creatures, whether these are ants in a colony, wolves in a pack, birds in a flock, baboons in a troop, or humans in a fifth grade class, it's based on some combination and some conflict between cooperation and conflict. Social creatures need each other. We band together for mutual good. But within that group, there are times where we're going to compete with one another for resources that we think are scarce. It's food, it's shelter, weapons, mates, money, bling, whatever it may be, where both cooperating and conflicting with one another. And so over the course of history and even prehistory, different individuals evolve different strategies for doing this. Some people, as we know, are sort of pleasant and easy to get along with, and they're very cooperative. And others seem to take great pleasure in preying on other people and exploiting other people. So some individuals may be violent because their family tree has selected for the kind of brain wiring that acts first and asks questions later. They may be somewhat impulsive. They may be somewhat irritable. There's a range of neuropsychological, hormonal, physical factors that go into determining why some people are more violent than other people. And like anything else, life is a bell curve. Any trait you can imagine, think of any human trait, height, weight, strength, athletic ability, musical talent, whatever it is, there are going to be some people on one end that are going to have very little of that trait. There are going to be some people on the other end that are going to have way too much of that trait, and most of us are going to be somewhere in between. And it's the same way with a predisposition to violent behavior. We know violent behavior runs in families. We know this from a variety of studies. But we also know that it is also dependent on the context. In an earlier segment, I talked about the forensic task of predicting dangerousness. One of the ways you predict dangerousness is based on the characteristics of the person, but it's also based on the characteristics of the environment that person goes back to.
So, Lieutenant, what is your belief and your experience? Is it the environment that makes a person violent, or more personal choosing?
I think it's a little bit of both, really. When you talk about environment, you're talking about children at a young age mirroring adults. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, you can either go one way. You can either teach them and give them a solid foundation in how to stay within social norms, which is what he's talking about, or you can deviate from that. And not do that. You know, your environment, you know, what you're used to when you're growing up is what you're going to be.
Yes.
So if no one values life or no one values laws, then you're going to become a product of that.
That's right.
So that's environmental. Mm-hmm. But there's also, don't forget, there's also physiological conditions that can actually do that too. Studies have shown that some people who are sociopathic are more subject to having no remorse. They're impulsive. They just make decisions, and so violence can be created in that way. You know, I have come across prisoners that we've arrested who I can have an actual pleasant conversation with, sometimes better than a normal person that isn't a criminal. So it really all depends on different factors, but I believe environmental and physiological factors also play a part in it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the psychiatrists, and I tried to have him here tonight, Dr. Stanton Samanaugh. He could not make it. He is taking a rain check. But he is saying that it's really personal choosing. Mm-hmm. It's It's who the kid chooses as his or her peers, mm-hmm. and they're gonna buddy up with that, with that. So mm-hmm. it's either to the positive or negative. They're gonna go, even if that particular person with a criminal behavior is placed into a good environment. Mm-hmm. No, they're going across town to seek these other peers out. That's what I learned. I'm very, very careful what I say, because this is not my mm-hmm. my expertise. Territory. So yeah. I feel a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
But they also reject the life of the parents mm-hmm. because they find that too boring, he's saying, and rejecting the norm of the teachers.
Well, that's a lack of respect.
That's right. And it's a lack of respect
that comes from childhood.
And that's for any authority mm-hmm. figure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a police officer. Yeah. It's not just a teacher. It's any authority mm-hmm. figure. So
it could be grandparents. It could be parents, grandparents, anybody that's, going to try to help you and guide you.
We all have a responsibility, right, in creating a security foundation for our children. Okay, so, that's our responsibility. And so what we do is, when we move into a town or a city or wherever neighborhood we move into, there's I like to call it a social norm acceptance. So laws are created, right, so that we can follow them. So we can't just run willy-nilly freely. There are laws, right? Just like there's rules in school, just like there are signs and traffic laws. So you're supposed to actually obey them. But there are some people, for whatever reason, whether it's biological or whether it's environmental, that they just cannot conform to social norms. They work outside of those boundaries, and they have no remorse when they do commit a crime, and they just want to keep doing it. It's not like they're doing it, for giggles. They're actually, they have
right. Also. And a teacher who has kids for 6 to 8 hours a day, they know who these kids are. Mm-hmm. They should get help at that point. They should be the parents should be notified. And
I think they do try, Marietta, but a lot of times parents don't like to hear that their kids are problematic in a school. So the parent could undermine the teacher many, many times. Teachers are 99% terrific people who love their kids.
Right.
But the parents can undermine the teacher by not listening to the teacher and not realizing that this woman or man is here to help you and guide your child. Sandy Hook, from what I remember, I could be very wrong, Lieutenant Perez, you tell me.
Yeah.
His mother took him out of school
mm-hmm. Correct.
Because he was a problem child.
Correct.
She gave him guns. She mm-hmm. allowed him to have guns. She taught him how mm-hmm. to shoot those guns. Mm-hmm. She homeschooled him mm-hmm. when he had problems in school. I'm sure 99% of the teachers he engaged with knew there was something wrong, seriously wrong, but his mother undermined everything that everyone tried to do. She isolated him. From stop me if I'm wrong.
No, you're
she
right.
isolated mm-hmm. him from his peers. He wasn't allowed to learn how to socialize or to get along. He was introverted or whatever. But I took him over the edge. It took him over the edge. She did not help him. His mom did not help him.
Yeah.
God rest her soul. But something went very wrong, because she was the first person he shot.
It's deniability. It really is
right.
Deniability.
So all I'm saying is, because I'm not familiar what schools do, so this is all new territory for me, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm saying is, if I was a teacher, if I'm seeing a certain behavior, it needs to be addressed, not overlooked. I rather say something and have a disagreement with the parents,
right.
but I'm. I said what I need to say.
I think they do.
That's all I'm
try.
Saying. They
yeah.
probably do, but
they
I don't
try.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really
here's part of the problem is that, when you're a municipal employee or a federal or state employee, right, so you have your area of expertise and you have your area of responsibility. You do what you can, but in reality, it's a community-based issue or problem. So in other words, the teachers can do whatever they're trained to do, and they do that, mm-hmm. and town government can offer all kinds of services through social service and different things. But if the parents are not on board, and unfortunately what happens is some parents just deny. They deny that there's a problem, or they want to blame everybody else. They want to blame government. They want to blame, and that happens all the time. Listen, in every town, you know who the problem families are. You do. You just know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is you get generational problems. So the grandparents were an issue. The parents are an issue. Now the grandkids are an issue. Now the grandkids are in their 20s. They're a problem, and we're arresting them. And now, you know, so it spirals out. So responsibility has to be placed on everyone working together, but you have to not deny. That's the biggest thing. You have to be, you know, honest with yourself and say, okay, if I have a child or that has a certain issue, let me try and seek the resources that the town offers rather than try to blame people. Mm-hmm. And that's where workplace violence and all these other things like active shooters come out of, is when, unfortunately, like in Sandy Hook, mm-hmm. when you deny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you take them out of that environment.
Thank you, Norma. Yeah. You were absolutely right. Now, after the break, we're going to go for a 5-minute break. So everybody just have a cup of tea or
A margarita.
We're coming back after the break, and we're going to get into what the behavior is product of our thinking. So we're going to get into the mind of a person like that. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in 4 or 5 minutes.
Je meurs. Pourquoi j'arrive? Pourquoi je pleure? Voici le SOS d'un Dorian en détresse. J'ai
Reverend Rod Kelly, founder of Eye of the Eagle Wellness Integrative Wellness Center, is changing people's understandings and awareness of true healing and the effective and proven natural ways to create physical and emotional energetic balance. Healing is a natural process, and diseases and illnesses are the coagulation of negative energies. Get a complimentary 15-minute consultation with Reverend Rod by calling 860-216-8671 and visit rodkelly.net. That's 860-216-8671.
It's Overcoming Fear Month here at kmareducation.org. Is fear holding you back, affecting your life and business? How much is fear costing you in terms of opportunity, money, and lost time? Reach your life and business goals. Get help and get it now. Call kmareducation.org for more info and an appointment. 203-505-3660. On the web, kmareducation.org.
Vision Salon in Milford is known for its outstanding unisex hair design and dedication to clients. A professional hairstylist will find a chair rental with flexible hours, great location, strip mall parking, great work, and team environment. Want to be a part of our family? Call Norma for more information at 203-874-8533. Vision Salon, 394 New Haven Avenue, Milford, Connecticut, 203-874-8533. Cheers!
How are job interviews going for you in general? Not satisfied with the results you're getting? Let kmareducation.org help you on your journey to success. Call for more information and consultation. 203-505-3660. That's 203-505-3660. Let's take the first step to success.
Hello, my name is Madison. Each year, WICC 600 helps kids get ready for school with their backpack gift bag program.
Thanks, Madison. WICC 600 will donate over 6,000 backpacks filled with school supplies this fall to kids that need them. WICC 600 in the community, helping kids get ready for school.
Sponsored in part by
Curtis Ryan Honda, Connecticut's first established Honda dealer, located at 333 Bridgeport Avenue in Shelton, between exits 12 and 13 off Route 8.
Go to WICC600.com to find out more.
Summer is bursting out at Treeland. They have large selections of your favorite perennials, roses, evergreens, and annuals, all in beautiful colors. For lawn care friends who enjoy a lush, beautiful green lawn, Treeland is stocked with all your turf needs. Summer fertilizers, grass seeds, mulch, and straw. Also, they have many controls for ticks, ants, and more. Treeland, serving the community with professional advice for over 65 years. Check TreelandGardenCenter.com for more specials.
Hey! Look at this.
Why are you on your phone? We have dinner reservations.
I'm getting a quote for life insurance from Ethos. Just look.
Wow. You know, I thought it would be more expensive.
A friend told me about Ethos. It's a new, straightforward kind of term life insurance that offers policies for any budget. Let's do an estimate for you.
Do we have time?
You just answer four simple questions to get an instant quote.
These are easy questions.
And there's the instant quote.
Seriously? That was really fast.
I know, right? And the online application only takes about 10 minutes. No pushy agents. And in most cases, no medical exams. It's perfect for us.
Can we apply right now?
Why not? And after dinner, maybe we can celebrate.
You know what? Ethos is perfect for us.
Ethos is ethical term life insurance. Straightforward and super fast. Don't put it off. Go to ethoslife.com for a free instant quote now. ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Thanks for calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This is Sarah. How can I help?
Well, the end of summer is a time of transition.
Playtime is over. It's back to school, back to work, back to making progress.
Is it true that 1-800-GOT-JUNK can make it springtime anytime?
Sure, we can do that.
We've accumulated a lot of junk we need to get rid of.
And you're out of storage space, out of patience, and out of time, right?
Yes, exactly right.
All you have to do is point.
Really? I thought that was just a slogan.
1-800-GOT-JUNK is a full-service junk removal company. You don't need to lift a finger before we get there, and you don't need to lift a finger after we get there.
Except for my pointing finger, right?
Yes, except for your pointing finger.
Do you need me to do anything before you get here?
We make junk disappear. All you have to do is point.
Let's make this junk disappear, Sarah.
All you have to do
is point. I'm ready.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
And now back to Life Talk on WICC 600. Here's Marietta.
Сердце озарило, как весна. Только ты одна. Дай мне, дай мне долгим огнем пылать в
Англии. Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and I just want to share tonight's artist is Dimash Kudaibagen. He is an artist born on May 24th, 1994. He is a Kazakh singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. He's university trained in classical as well as in contemporary music and is known for his wide vocal range of six octaves from D2 to D8. And he sings in 12 different languages, so you'll find him on YouTube. He has fantastic songs, and that's why I picked him, because we're talking about a topic tonight. We're talking about our lives. We're talking about our loved ones. We're talking about bringing awareness to you. And I think the music is just appropriate. That's what I feel. I want to thank my guest, Tony Giannatasio. He's a business owner from New Haven, Connecticut, for being here tonight.
Thank you.
You're also on the board. You are a sitting elderman.
Correct.
Elderman.
Yes.
And thank you for being here tonight. Norma Giannatasio, she's a regular contributor, my co-host.
Back again.
Back and again. Thank you for being here. And special guest, Lieutenant Jim Perez. Thank you for being here. Right. Before the break, we talked about, is environment to blame, or is personal choosing to blame? Lieutenant said it's a little bit of both. But right now, I want to go back and say, well, some people would say, well, people watch movies and video games, and one of the doctors I'm listening to, Dr. Samino, he's saying millions watch violence and play videos, and they don't kill. The design is the mind the design is in the mind of the user, he said. Lieutenant, what do you say to something like that?
I believe that every single one of us have choices. So as a human, by design, right, we were designed to actually have choices. So whether you decide to do something bad or wrong, you talk about video games, for instance, there are many countries, millions of people, of kids, play video games, and they don't have the violence that we have. So, you know, but I will tell you this. You make a decision on whatever you want to do. So you can have loving people around you that actually give you the right advice, that try to guide you. They might mentor you and even take you under their wing. But ultimately, you are the decision maker on what you decide to do, whether it's good or bad. That's what I believe. And I do believe that most people, I believe that all people have good in them. But I believe that all people also have the ability to have bad in them. And it depends on what you're surrounded by. So if you're surrounded by a group who's constantly thinking negative, who constantly wants to do bad things, then your mind is going to gravitate towards that point. And then before you know it, you're in trouble.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Also, let's just put a person together, a person that lies. We all lie. But they even lie to cover their tracks, to get out of a jam. They lie for no purpose. It's an automatic compulsion. Now, I'm reading this from Dr. Samenow. Like, those are not my words.
A habitual liar.
Yeah. They tell you 20% the truth. And the motive is they lie for no purpose. That's the motive. But lying is power to them. They think and feel unique, superior, to prop up self-image. And they like to be the hub of the wheel in everything.
Boy, that sounds a lot like Facebook to me, huh?
Yeah, well, social media allows you to be anything you want to be. Mm-hmm. We talked about that once before on the radio, that social media, you can create yourself or picture book. Remember we had that discussion about...
That's right.
Yep, about creating your own picture book on social media that isn't really real if it isn't.
They're all models.
Yeah.
They pose a certain way in certain outfits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all travel. Nobody talks about personal growth. Nobody.
You know what I call it? I call it Hollywood. Everybody has their own personal Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood portrays what they want to portray. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they want everybody
to
look.
It's the Kardashian syndrome.
Yeah. Same thing with social media. Yeah. Everybody does whatever they want to do. It's all unverifiable. Mm-hmm. Nobody cites anything. Everybody just kind of just does whatever they want to do. But, you know, one of the things that's very important is that I don't think people in that context. Listen, I've been a police officer. This is my 28th year. Okay. I get lied to every single day, sometimes on purpose, sometimes because of embarrassment. And I get it. I don't push it if that's the case. But I don't sometimes, I teach a body language class. And one of the things I talk about is when you have verbal and nonverbal cues, right? Body language, they have to match in order for it to be true. If you have two, and police officers are experts at it. When they show up to a house and there's a disturbance, and I'll give you a perfect example. They go to a house, let's say there's an argument. I promise you the cops are not going to leave. They will not leave until the verbal and the nonverbal cues match. So you could be telling me that you're okay and that everything's fine, but if I see body language or I see that nonverbal communication is not telling me that, I'm not going anywhere until we actually figure it out, because now it's our responsibility to make sure that everyone there is safe.
Yeah. Thank you for your input. Those people that we're talking about, a possible person, they're also very difficult, but they're very talented, and other people make constant allowances for them. They must be in charge. Also, they're not open to anyone's ideas, especially at the workplace, as an example, and they don't fit at all into groups. They have nothing in common with groups. But here it comes, just what you said, Lieutenant. They can be very sentimental and sensitive, religious and serving, and at the same time, savage brutality side by side. They use their talent. They do good deeds and commit heinous crimes. They mislead people, but they are also fearful. Fear of being put down put down criticizing. Criticism.
Yeah, I think it's a little scary about the workplace, though. And I have to say, I'm in a wonderful environment in my workplace. But Tony works with a diversified group of people, and he could tell you that. And he has to learn, I'm sure, how to deal. So I don't know if he wants to say much about it, because I'm not in that environment, but Tony is. My environment is homey. She's been at my salon. We're friendly. It's a family. Mm-hmm. It's not that way in Tony's environment on his daily day-to-day. So he can just give you an oversight of what
he
sees and deals with on a daily basis.
Sure. You know, where I work, we employ a lot of people that are in a halfway house program. So we give them an opportunity, you know, to get back into the workforce. And with that comes challenges. They're there and they're there to do a job, but sometimes being from their background, you know, they're very argumentative. They don't take direction well. And it's challenging for us because, you know, we're trying to run a business. We're trying to help society at the same time. And, you know, we have to get the job done. And it's not all of them, but there is a majority of them that are good that will comply. But they're defiant, some of them. And they're just very strong-willed. And they just don't like to take direction. And they just have something against authority in general. And I've seen that. And you can't engage with them. You can't, you know, debate them because it's just a losing proposition. Mm-hmm. And you're just better off, you know, cutting ties. And it could escalate at times. And, you know, and I've had situations where the police have been called mm-hmm. to remove someone from the workplace because now they become a risk and a danger to everyone else there mm-hmm. because their temper, it just escalates.
Mm-hmm. It's like a switch.
It's like a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about something very simple at the moment, and then you see the rage, and you know that's really something that I've learned as a business owner, as a manager, you know, to deal with that. And I agree with what you say. The body language, it gets aggressive. Mm-hmm. They come towards you. They get close, mm-hmm. and you know it's almost like a power grab. And once I get those feelings or I see what's going on. And then when you ask them to leave, sometimes they still won't leave. Mm-hmm. And that's scary.
It's like dominance. It's like they're trying to dominate. It's a, you know, like the wolf pack mentality. I've talked about that often where, you know, the strongest wolf is the one that kind of rules the roost. And so, unfortunately, there are de-escalation tactics, tips, and strategies that you can use in order to take a verbal argument and prevent it from becoming a physical argument or a physical assault, rather. So there are different tips and techniques that can be used, but I will tell you that you're hitting it right on the nail. You're doing a good thing by hiring these people who otherwise would not be able to get a job. And I do believe that, you know, that everyone deserves a second chance. I do believe that. And I believe that people make mistakes.
I do,
you know, but I also believe that some people are recidivists and they just can't help themselves. But with that said, we do have a responsibility as society to give them a chance. But when it starts to get violent like that, there has to be a line drawn and there has to be boundaries that are met. And there are ways to do that. It's just that not everybody has that experience or the training to be able to prevent that experience from becoming violent.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Sure.
And you know what helped me to prepare a little bit as much as I could for this whole program? There are two YouTube videos out, and it's talking exactly the mind of a person like that, what you just brought up, because you have to watch it. I'll give you the link and everything. But they hate to be criticized. His self-image is on the line. It doesn't matter. It could be something so little. It's a big his or her self-image is on the line, and they act accordingly, right? They also have very little conscience. They can shut it off just like that, like a light switch. I had a situation at a gas station in Monroe where I go frequently, and it was on a Saturday, and I needed my oil checked. I always run a little low on my oil. I don't know, but, you know. So I could tell this young kid was really, he was up, you know, he was really, he was boiling. Mm-hmm. I could hear it, I saw it in his face. I could hear it in his voice.
His energy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So he told me, well, we should start with 2 quarts. You have nothing in there. Like that, he goes, so I didn't send me off. But then I got out of the car, and he put 3 in, and I said, do you think maybe we should check the dipstick, you know? And this is, you know what he did? He threw the bottle on the ground right in front of my car, and he walked inside.
Wow.
He said, you do it.
Wow.
That's exactly what he did.
You know what the funny thing is? That you never, first of all, you never know what someone's actually going through or what their tolerant level is for dealing with people. But I will tell you that that's unacceptable on any level for any employee to be treating someone like that, in my eyes.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to be dealt with. But, you know, it's sometimes you have to wonder, you know, did something just happen in their lives, you know, that has them at the boiling point? I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, today's life is so full of complexities that, you know, we're constantly thinking about the next step, instead of taking time to actually spend with family and actually enjoy. But it's absolutely no excuse for that type of behavior.
You still have to deal with whatever happened that day.
Absolutely.
And if it takes you to go into the men's room and mm-hmm. calm yourself down, mm-hmm. then that's what mm-hmm. you need to do, than to take it out on someone who has no idea what's going on in your life.
Now that I will tell you this, to me that's a violent indicator. So violent indicators are things, yeah, that
exactly.
can be bad.
Lieutenant. Now, I waited
maybe
till
maybe he worked for Tony in the past.
Oh jeez.
One
no.
thing I'd like to share is the word respect comes to mind a lot, because they use that word, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it's a pride thing, but they almost feel like, you know, when you're directing them, you're disrespecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is something.
Yeah, and this is exactly what you just said. And I very softly, I didn't, not demanding or anything, because I was calm. I said, do you think maybe we should check the dips, you know.
You're questioning.
Yeah, right. You're questioning his
work. And
I wasn't
demanding, mm-hmm. and it wasn't in my attitude. I mm-hmm. had no attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Not and with that,
didn't.
With I hadn't even finished mm-hmm. it, and mm-hmm. he put the bottles, you know, he threw it on the mm-hmm. ground, and he said, you do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I waited till the other attendant was free, mm-hmm. young fella, and he finished it up, and I complained to him, and I said, this is not going to go anywhere. So, you know, I try to find out who the owner is.
Right.
And you know what? I chose, I'm not going there
So
anymore.
In his mind, he thought that mm-hmm. you disrespected him.
Yeah,
as
this
Tony
is a typical
said.
Example.
In their mind, they flip it around
yeah.
that you've disrespected them mm-hmm. when all mm-hmm. you're doing is asking a question.
So yeah. this is why we really need to learn how they think in order to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're doing not too bad, right?
I think, you know, and it starts at a young age. Like, Lieutenant, you mentioned choices.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, kids at a very young age, they play cops and robbers. Mm-hmm. So who wants to be the cop and who wants to be mm-hmm. the robber? You know, and it kind of starts from there. And, you know, and then you see, like you mentioned, you know, movies and video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is built around crime mm-hmm. as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad, you know, if the parents aren't, you know, diligent. Whispering in their ear and mm-hmm. saying, listen, you know, you can play this game.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, this is the reality. You know, these are the challenges of the future. And, you know, it just seems like it's escalating more and more now.
Also, what Dr. Stanton Samino said in the video, rehabilitation is not the word for them. Mm-hmm. Because something has to get their attention to change. Giving them job skills and other skills, then you have a criminal with job skills and who knows what. Habilitation is the word. Awareness training, how they think.
Mm-hmm.
And then change.
Rewire them.
Rewire them, mm-hmm. but something drastically has to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard. His job is very, very hard mm-hmm. to do that. He's very, very interesting because he deals with the criminal behavior on
the other end. I think a real criminal, let's say a serial murderer or someone
like
that.
Yeah, he's talking about that.
They're very intelligent people.
Yes.
This is high IQs we're talking about.
It's purposeful.
Exactly.
Right. No, they're intelligent. Yeah. They have... Uh-huh. They have a great personality. At one point, he said,
"Well, they're manipulating."
When he was talking to that one criminal, he forgot that he even
killed somebody. Yeah.
So it's all there.
Ten Bundy kind of.
It's all there,
charm.
But we need to learn all of this, so we can shield ourselves, right, Lieutenant?
Yeah, that's
we have about 2 minutes before we go. For the news, now we're going to be on till 8 o'clock tonight. I would ask you to stay tuned. We're coming back on at 7:05. Then we're going to talk about crime in the workplace, violence in the workplace. That's important. Norma, do you have anything to mention, anything additional for this, as far as personalities or anything like that?
You know, I believe, too, that there's a lot of, you can read body language, too, along with a person's disposition. I'm one for, so are you.
I can't read body language. I told Lieutenant that.
I can.
Energy I can read,
yeah,
yes, but
energy
not body
I can
language.
Read, I can, but I can read body language, too.
Really?
I know when somebody's disconnecting from me immediately. I know it. They divert their eyes. There's certain things that I know to look for, and it kind of puts me in a different place. I could be thoroughly engaged in them and trying to communicate something that either I want to share or I want to help them with. And then I see this disconnect come across. The arms start to fold.
That's defensive.
Mm-hmm. The arms folding, mm-hmm. The eyes turning in a different direction. I know right away, I've lost you. You mm-hmm. are not listening to me. I don't know where you are, sweetheart, but you're not on my page. And I've learned to just say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm done.
Well, you know, you could say that you're mm-hmm. done, and that's a good
yeah.
strategy. But
only because of fear, maybe.
Yeah, no.
But I don't mean that I'm afraid of them. It's yeah. just that I don't know where to go after that,
right.
Lieutenant.
No,
you know
no.
I mean?
I totally
I don't
understand.
Know where to go. Yeah.
I think we're going to save that for after the news.
I don't know where to go.
So this is Marietta Kammer. Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. And tonight, it's the criminal mind we're diving into. So we're going for the news now, and we're back at 7:05, so don't touch that dial.
This.
Why are you on your phone? We have dinner reservations.
I'm getting a quote for life insurance from Ethos. Just look.
Wow. You know, I thought it would be more expensive.
A friend told me about Ethos. It's a new, straightforward kind of term life insurance that offers policies for any budget. Let's do an estimate for you.
Do we have time?
You just answer four simple questions to get an instant quote.
These are easy questions.
And there's the instant quote.
Seriously? That was really fast.
I know, right? And the online application only takes about 10 minutes. No pushy agents. And in most cases, no medical exams. It's perfect for us.
Can we apply right now?
Why not? And after dinner, maybe we can celebrate.
You know what? Ethos is perfect for us.
Ethos is ethical term life insurance. Straightforward and super fast. Don't put it off. Go to ethoslife.com for a free instant quote now. ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
WICC Bridgeport. WEBE HD2 Westport. Locally owned by Connoisseur Media. Southern Connecticut's news and information leader. W.